In today's Mishnah, we learn the first and second Mishnah from the first parak of Masechta Kinim. Now, Akin literally means a nest, but this Masechta deals with bird offerings. In particular, the resolution of issues that arise as a result of mixtures of different bird offerings. So if you recall, a bird offering can be brought in an obligatory manner, meaning someone has to bring these pairs of birds, and that was, if you recall, that was really in the context of the Korbanot or Levi or Red, meaning these Korbanot where what an individual has to bring will vary with one's financial standing. Sometimes it's an animal, sometimes it would be a pair of birds, and in some cases it could even go to the lowest level, which would be bringing a meal offering. Now with this Masechta as well, we're going to be offering videos online. We're going to record it in addition to the normal audio format. And that is because while the logical principles on which this mission is based, which we're going to really cover in today's Mishnayot, are quite simple, and it appears simple in the beginning, very quickly the cases get quite complex. And again, pictures and diagrams certainly help. So the diagrams as well will be online that you can print out with your own learning or teaching. The choice is really yours. So you're trying to offer all options to put at your disposal. So let's begin the first Mishnah. Chatata of nasit lamata v'chatat be'ma lamala. So if you recall, that when it came to the placement of blood from different korbanot, some were placed on the top half and some were placed on the bottom half. And the way the bird offerings were offered and the various animal offerings were offered, that was discussed really in Masechta Zvachim in far greater detail. And if you recall as well, and we learned in the previous Masechta Midot, that there was a red line that went through at the middle of the Mizbeach, called the Chut HaSikra, that was to divide between the blood that's offered on the top half and the bottom half. Now that was very important, that was critical, because if the blood was placed on the wrong location, meaning it was meant to be off in the top half and it was placed below the line, then the korban would be invalid, as this mission is going to teach us. So the mission says, when it comes to a sin bird offering, that was an asir lamata. The korban would stand on the floor and place the blood on the corner here, if it was the southwest corner of the mizbeach. The chatat be'ema, when it comes to the sin, this sin offering that came from an animal, that blood was placed in the opposite location, meaning on the top of the mizbeach, on the four corners. And the opposite is true when it came to the fully burnt offerings, the olah. So olah ta'of was performed lamala, meaning on the top of the mizbeach. If you recall, it was either on the southeast or southwest corners, depending on the room. And when it comes to the olah behema, meaning the animal that was a fully burnt offering, the blood that was placed on the bottom half. If you recall, once again, the blood was sprinkled on the, or cast, I should say, on the two opposing corners. That was the south, so it's let's start the other round, northeast and southwest corners. It was thrown on the corner, literally on the corner, so blood split and went on the two faces. So the blood eventually reached all four faces. And the Mishnah says, Im shina bezeh bezeh, if you put it in the wrong location, the korban is invalid. And that's principle number one that is critical to this Mishnah. Because if the location of where the blood was placed wasn't critical, then a lot of the issues we have in the Mishnah would simply be resolved by just performing all the mixture in one location, which one cannot do, as we'll learn soon. So Mishnah says as follows: Seder kinim kachu. So this is going to, this is the various types of kinim that one can be obligated to bring. The first is our obligatory ones, which we mentioned in the introduction. That's a chovah. In that situation, an individual has to bring a chad chatat v'chad olah. The individual have to bring it's a pair of birds, but one would be a sin offering, one would be this olah, this burnt offering. Now, for the purposes of the Mishnayot, we're going to signify, if you look in the diagrams on the screen, that a chatat will be shaded dark grey, and the olah would be given this pure white or white colour. Now, it's also very important to appreciate that if someone purchases a pair of birds, at the time they purchase the birds, they can designate that one, which of the bird is going to be a chatat and which is going to be an olah. In that situation, then we have what's called a ken mefureshet, meaning we've already designated which of the two birds is a chatat and you cannot change it. One is chatat, one is an olah. However, what one can do is they don't have to designate at that point. They can purchase the birds as they are, and they will be designated when the kohen offers them. So in that situation, that's called a ken stuma, And we're going to shade those birds in a light grey in our diagrams to so it's clear that we're dealing with a ken meforeshet. The mission then continues. There's also medarim or nedavot. How do we have, with respect to bird offerings that can be voluntary, they can be of two types, a ned or nedava. If one would do so, then there'd be kulan olot, they'd all be kulan offerings. Now, I have to correct one point here, that we've said in the previous Mishnah that when it comes to obligatory offerings, one's chatat, one's olah. It's only voluntary offerings that they're all olah. There is one exception to the rule, and that is the pair of birds that a convert would bring. In that situation, interestingly, despite being obligatory, it is a they are two olah offerings. The Bartanura here comments that it's the mention because it was a not such a common sacrifice, that is why it is not mentioned, the Mishnah doesn't raise this exception. But let's continue. So we've said when it comes to nedarim and nedavot, they're all olot. Now, why is it important to say they're all olot? Why don't you simply say they're all offerings? And that is ken meforeshet here. That's a perish as opposed to the type of birds, the type of ken that could be offered. He explains that when it comes to animal offerings, it doesn't have to be olot if it's voluntary. It can even be a shlamim, as we've learned. So, but however, when it comes to bird offerings, there can, if it's voluntary, it could only be, or they're kulan, to use the terminology of the Mishnah, are going to be olah offerings. So Mishnah now explains these two different categories of voluntary offerings. Eizu neder, what's a neder? That's someone who says, hare alai olah, that he's bringing the obligation on himself to bring an olah. Ve'ezuhu nedava, what's the other type, a nedava? That's how Omer, someone says, hare zu olah, that this particular bird, the pair of birds, they are olah offerings. So Mishnah says, well, what's the difference? Ma bein nedarim or nedavot? And that is Ela Shahan Nedarim Metu, is that when it comes to Nedarim, if one the person took upon, he makes a neder, so he's taking an obligation upon himself, and then purchases some birds to satisfy that obligation. Mishnah says if those birds die, Metu or Ningdavor, they're stolen, then he's still Chayvim Bachariotan, he's still obligated to fulfill this neder he took upon himself, because he placed the obligation on himself to bring a pair of birds and has not yet fulfilled that obligation. However, if in the case of a Nedava, or nedavot, to use the expression in the Mishnah, where as an individual didn't take the obligation on himself, he simply set aside birds and says, these are going to be a lot. In that situation, metu or ningdavu, if they die or they are stolen, then ein chayvim b'achriyotan, one is not obligated to bring a replacement, because he never took the obligation upon himself. Rather, he simply said, these will be, I want those to be a lot, and they died. Let's now learn the second Mishnah. Chatat shinitar v'be'ola. If you have a sin offering, sin bird offering that's mixed with a ola, this fully burnt offering, the ola bechatat, or the other way around, afilu echad biribo, sorry, even if there's one in a thousand, meaning one chatat in a huge number of ola bird offerings, Mishnah says yamutu kulam. This is the next very important principle that we bring in this Mishnah, and that once you have a mixture, as soon as you get to the point where you're trying to resolve any issues regarding mixtures, you get to a point where you're left with a mixture of chatat and olah offerings, there's nothing you can do, they have to be all left to die. Now, why is that? Well, we've already explained that if you can't simply take them all, the whole mixture, let's say there was chatat and multiple olot, and offer them all in the bottom half. Why? Because you're definitely going to make the chatat, the sin offering, in that mixture, pasul. And according to the Ravid, one is not allowed to deliberately make a korban pasul. The next question is, well, why don't we simply apply the laws of bitul, annulment, meaning if you've got so many or lot, why don't we say the one sin offering that's in the mixture that is batel is annulled, and we consider it as not there? And that is because the Bartanura here explains, based on the Gemara Zavachim, that the laws of bitul do not apply to living creatures. You cannot say a living creature is batel annulled. Finally, why don't you simply say that, one second, we've had mixtures of animal offerings, you wait for it to develop a blemish, and then simply redeem it. But that solution is not available to us when it comes to bird offerings, because you cannot redeem, or mormim don't really apply other than what's called a lacking limb, but it doesn't apply to bird offerings. So let's continue. Mishnah says, Chatach nit arva b'chova, in kasher elekamine chatach b'chova. Mishnah explains here, if you have a sin offering, that's mixed with a chova. Chova normally means obligatory, like we've been explaining, but here we're referring to a ken stuma. So that's why in a picture we have one dark grey bird, that's a chatat, mixed with the shaded, light shaded two other birds. Now that those two birds, one of them is going meant to be offered as a chatat, and one is meant to be offered as an olah. So with this mixture, the Mishnah says, in kasher, the only birds one can offer from this mixture, as sin offerings really, is elekemin chatatcha pechova, will be the number of sin offerings that would have come out of these kinei stuma. So to use the example in the simplest example that we have in our pictures, is we've got one chatat mixed with one ken chova. So one of these is meant to be a chatat and one is meant to be an olah. So you could offer one of these birds as a chatat. The best situation is you pick the right bird. However, it's equally likely, meaning you picked the original chatat that mixed in there, that was mixed in the mixture. However, it's also possible that you picked out one of the birds from the ken stuma. And in that situation, in a ken stuma, once you offer one as a chatat, the other one, according to the Rosh, is automatically becomes or designated as an olah. Because once again, at the time of purchase, the individual said that I want this pair of birds to be my ken chova, one of which chatat, one as an olah, and the coin is to determine one. So once one is determined as a chatat, the other one automatically becomes an olah. So therefore, once the chatat is offered, then the remaining of, it's possible that that was from the ken stuma, so the remaining one automatically becomes an olah, and you're now left with a mixture of a chatat and olah, which we already said has to be left to die. Similarly, Mishnah says, v'chen olah chenit arav bechuvah. Also, if it was an olah that got mixed up with a ken stuma. In kasher, the number of birds one could offer as olah offerings is keminyan olot shebechuvah. It's like the number of olot that are mixed, that would come from our ken stuma. So again, using the simplest example, that's a one ken stuma with a korban, a olata off mixed with it. Once again, once I offer one, since it's possible that that bird came from the ken stuma, then that would mean the remaining one would be a chatat, and one is left with a mixture of a chatat and olah. So that's why only one could be offered. So we haven't yet really proved, according to the way I've explained it, why it's keminyan olot shebechova or keminyan chatat shebechova. But the Mishnah is going to elaborate, so it will become clear in a moment. Mishnah says, "Bein shachova murubah v'anadava muetet, bein shachnedava murubah v'achova muetet, bein shishtehem shavot." So here the terminology chova once again is meant to be understood as a ken stuma, and the term nedava is referring to olah offerings. So Mishnah says, whether the olah offerings are less than the kineth or the multiple ken stumot, or the other way around, where it's in excess of it, it'll always be the number of olah offerings that would come out of the kineth stuma, the multiple yet to be designated pairs of birds. So let's use the example where there are three ken stumot, kineth stuma probably is better Hebrew, and one olah mixed with it. Your best scenario is if you offered three, is if one of those three were your original olah that fell into it, in mixture. However, the worst case is it's equally possible that once you offer three, they all came from those kinei stuma. That being the case, once you've offered those three, the remaining would automatically become sin offerings, chatats, and you're left with a mixture of three chatats and one olah. Again, this is the worst possible scenario, that olah that is mixed in, is that still that original olah that was mixed in? And we've just said that from that point, they all have to be left to die, because when you pull one out, you don't know, is it an olah or is it a chatat? So that's what you can see from this example, it is a number of olot that would arise from the kinei stuma that is the maximum amount that could be offered. Similarly, let's use the opposite case. Let's say that there was only one ken stuma and three olot got mixed in. So in that situation, you could only offer one bird, one as an olah offering. Why is that? That is because it is possible that that bird came from the ken stuma. And as we explained, once that bird is offered as an olah, the remaining bird from that ken stuma would automatically become a chatat, a sin offering, and then you're left with a mixture of olot and a chatat, and therefore they all have to be left to die. So once again, one can see that it's only the number of olah offerings in that would have originally risen from that ken stuma that can be offered. Those are the Mishnah today.